You're listening to SBS News.
They came to design, together, machinery to end war, a curse which in 30 years had killed 40 million human beings.
1945, and as the guns of war in Europe and Asia finally fell silent, countries came together to create the United Nations, the institutional bedrock of a new rules-based international order.
The representatives of 2,000 million people pledged to promote freedom from fear and freedom of expression, freedom from want, and freedom of worship.
The UN was not created to take mankind to heaven, but to save humanity from hell. The words of Doug Hammarskjöld, the organization's most beloved Secretary General, have come to serve as a mission statement of sorts. And in the context of its founding year, that meant saving the world from another global conflict. But what now, 75 years on?
Let's look out here. We can see all the flags lined up of all of the member states. They're lined up from A to Z.
When tour groups are shown around its headquarters in Manhattan, they're probably unaware of the breadth of UN activities. It's disaster relief, it's 13 peacekeeping missions, it's work in eradicating diseases such as smallpox and polio. With its unique convening power, the UN still offers the biggest stage in international diplomacy.
People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing.
Here it was used by the teenage activist Greta Thunberg during a climate summit in New York to shame world leaders. But Richard Gowan of the International Crisis Group fears its global impact is diminishing, partly because of the paralysis on the Security Council, partly because it's been slow to respond to modern-day issues, such as the impact of disruptive technologies.
The UN has a long, proud history of work on issues like international development, but it's not clear that it's got the right mechanisms to deal with 21st century questions like artificial intelligence or cybersecurity. So it is going through a bit of an existential rethink, if not a crisis.
Dame Karen Pearce is the UK's permanent representative to the UN.
I'd say it was in transition mode. But it badly needs to up its game and to modernise. It has, it's never had the period of reform that most national governments have had over successive decades. And it's now 75 years old.
Often the UN doesn't solve the world's problems, but merely reflects them. It's the sum of its antagonistic parts, the member states themselves. And that's as true now as it was in the year of its foundation.
This charter points the way, but whether the world is to move in that direction will depend finally upon the vigilance and sovereign will of the peoples of the world.